Okay, we began a series here several weeks ago, we've called it Transformers. And in fact, we've been doing something that has kind of spread throughout the whole life of the church, if you will. We have been talking about really one passage in, or it started with one passage in the book of Romans, where it says, "Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so there are two words there that are similar. One is conform, the other is transform. And God tells us there, he gives us a warning, he gives us a command. He says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. In other words, don't be pushed into a certain mold. To conform to something means to meet the criteria of some external force, you know, to kind of be pushed into a certain shape, a certain mold. Instead, he said, I don't want you to do that. Instead, I want you to transform or to take a different shape, but it's intentional. It is on purpose and it is internal. It starts inside of you. I want you to be different than everything around you. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so God tells us, hey, you know what? As you live your life here on earth, don't just kind of be what might happen all by itself. If you just live life, there's pressures on you that will push you to think a certain way, to have certain priorities, to speak a certain way, to look a certain way. There's something in us that kind of gives in to that pressure, right? I mean, if someone pushes on this side of my head, the natural inclination, my head goes that way. Well, God said, hey, there's pressure in the world, but I don't want you just to be moved by that. Instead, I want you to take a different shape, but I want it to be intentional. I want you to think about it. I want you to metamorphosize, if you will. That's the Greek word there, to transform, to be different, to take a different shape, but to do it with a specific purpose in mind. This is where I'm going. To conform means I'm getting pushed somewhere, and it's not my necessarily where I want to go. I don't even have a whole lot of say on where I'm going to end up. To transform means, no, that's where I'm going, and I'm going to do things to get there. So God says, don't conform, transform. That's what we've been talking about here the past 6 weeks. We've been speaking about different ways or different things that looks like here on Sunday mornings. We have also been encouraging people to 5 days a week to have a daily devotional where we're reading the Bible, where there's questions for you to think through based on the passage that we read. There are verses to memorize. We've also encouraged people to be in a small group for these 6 weeks, and every small group for the past 6 weeks has been talking about this whole idea of transforming. What does that look like? How does God want us to do it? So that's what we've been doing here for the past several weeks. Today I'm going to finish that series with we're going to talk about transformed life disciplines. Now, here's where I'm going with this, okay? If you decide I'm going to live a healthy lifestyle, maybe you decide that's something I need to do. I need to live a physically healthy lifestyle. So you decide to do that. And what that means is all kinds of things, all right? I'm going to eat spinach salad instead of cheese curds. It's one of the things I'm going to do. I'm going to get some exercise. I'm going to get, you know, go outside and ride my bike. I'm going to, you know, whatever that might look like, you change your diet, you change your habits. I really want to live a healthy lifestyle. And so you discipline yourself to do that, right? Okay, really want the cheese curds, and there's the spinach salad. I'm going to eat the spinach salad. You go to McDonald's and you get the, you know, the, I don't even know what you get at McDonald's. Something. My daughter is here. She works here. But you make that choice. You do that for 6 weeks. And at the end of 6 weeks, you say to yourself, that was great. I lived a healthy lifestyle. I really ate well. I exercised. I got plenty of sleep at night. I really did the things that I need to do for a healthy lifestyle, and I'm really glad that I did it, but now I've done it, and I'm going back to cheese curds and sitting on the couch. And I've already done the healthy lifestyle thing, and I'm done. Would that help you? Would you be benefited by that? Well, you would for the 6 weeks, but for the rest of your life, you know, you don't eat one spinach salad and you're done forever. That's not how that works. You have to do it for the rest of your life. If you really want to get the benefits from it, you have to do it for long periods. This is the same way. All of these disciplines that we've been working on here the last 6 weeks, having a devotional, getting up and having a quiet time, you know, you've probably heard mentioned, reading the Bible, thinking through these questions, going to small group, talking about these issues. We've really kind of done it intentionally and intensively for the past 6 weeks. But if you want this to really have an impact in your life, it can't stop. It has to keep going. Just like this healthy lifestyle thing. You can't do it for 6 weeks and I'm done, did the healthy lifestyle, no more problems, I'm going to go back to just being the way I was. No, if you want to really transform, this is something, guys, that has to carry forward long after we're done with the series. Long after that little booklet, if you were going through that Transformers booklet, long after you've lost that. Long after you've forgotten, you know, a lot of the things that were in there. You need to be doing some of these things. We need to have these life disciplines. Life disciplines, not period of time disciplines, life disciplines. And I'm going to talk about that, how if we want to transform, it really does require discipline. We have to make ourselves do something, don't we? Now, that even that term discipline, it implies something. What does the term discipline imply to you? Whoa, I got strange microphones all over the place. What does discipline imply? Work? What else? Suffering? Change in behavior? Change in attitude? How do I ask this differently? Do you have to discipline yourself to eat cheese curds? No, you just want. I just want to. There's no. Gosh, I really shouldn't eat. I mean, I really should eat the cheese curds, but I'm right there. And, oh man. No, I don't have to discipline myself to eat cheese curds. I just really don't. I have to discipline myself to eat broccoli, because I don't like broccoli as much as I like cheese curds. The word discipline implies that you need to make yourself do something that maybe you wouldn't do otherwise, right? Isn't that part of it? You know, if my wife wanted to run a 5K race, and so, you know, she had to go out there and train, and she didn't want to get up and go out in this cold weather and, you know, run a mile or two, but she made herself do it. That's a discipline. Discipline. The connotation is that I have to make myself do something that otherwise I might not want to do. That's true of this as well. If we just kind of float through life, we end up, what, getting conformed. We get pressed into a mold. But if I want to transform, take a different shape, I need to make certain intentional choices that are going to require something of me. If you want to transform for the rest of your life, it is going to require something of you. You're going to have to do things that maybe are going to be work, maybe are going to entail some suffering, maybe are going to be changes, and you're going to have to work to make them happen. So, we need discipline if we're going to do this. But what I want, okay, I'm going to ask another question. I'm looking for a word here. What is it? It's never going to work. I'm just going to tell you. If you want to discipline yourself, you need motivation, right? You have to have something that makes you, there has to be a reason why you get up off the couch. There has to be a reason. You have to have some goal in mind. There has to be something that compels you, if you will. We don't just do things with, you know, that are hard if we don't think, I need to do this for this reason and I'm going to do it anyhow, right? That's what motivation is. It's something that compels you in a direction. If you want to discipline your life, if you want to be transformed, if you want to continue these life disciplines, you have to have motivation. What is the motivation here? Well, that's what I want to talk about here a little bit today. We need to discipline our lives, but to do that, we have to be motivated. There has to be something that compels us in that way. And what I want to say is this. you and I, if we're going to transform our lives, we don't do it alone. You and I do not transform alone. We have to have a relationship. And in Galatians, this is going to be difficult here because that stand won't hold this Bible. So I'll do my best. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. What is this saying? Okay, if you want to transform, if you want to be different, you have to do it in relationship with what? Well, here, see, it says, gratifying the desires of the sinful nature, that's conforming. That's just kind of giving into the pressures around you or even your own desires that you think, you know what, I really don't want to do that, but left to myself, this is what I'll do. That's what it means. And it says, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to conform, if you really do want to be different, what do we do? It says, well, live by the Spirit. If you read through the rest of the book of Galatians there, this is a book that a guy named Paul wrote to a church, and he's talking about these issues. He's saying, hey guys, you need to be different. You really need to intentionally think about your life, be a certain way. And here at the end of this letter that he had written to the church, he's telling them how. He says, live by the Spirit. He says, walk with the Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, this thing called the Spirit, he says, I want you to be with it, to be in step with it, to be communicating with it, to be filled with it, to live by it, to hear it, to walk with it. Well, what is the Spirit? Well, if you read through, we talked about this several weeks ago. The Spirit here means the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Trinity, part of who God is. God exists in three separate, one entity, three personalities, if you will. It's hard to describe God. We don't really have the words for it, but that's kind of what it is. One entity, three different manifestations, three different ways that we see it. There's God the Father, who is the Creator, the Provider, the Protector. There's God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer, the Savior, who died to pay the penalty for our sins. He's the lover of our soul. He's our friend, he says. And then there's God the Spirit, who is our counselor, who is our guide, who is our power, who lives inside of us. All of these things, God the Father, Jesus, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them refer to God, this Godhead. And so when it talks about living by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, that is not distinguished from this whole God. So basically what this is saying is, look, if you want to transform, you need to do it in relationship with God. You have to be with God. The single greatest transforming event that will ever happen in your life is spending time with God. If you are with Him, if you are in His presence, if you're doing this, living, walking, trying to understand what God is saying, letting Him speak to you, speaking to Him, relating to Him, if you're doing that, if you are spending time with God, according to this, it changes you. It's like being in, I've said this before, God is radioactive. You know, you go into a radioactive environment, what happens? Well, that stuff is going through you. You spend time in God's presence, it goes through you. It changes you. The single most transforming thing you will ever do in your life is to spend time with God, to have a relationship with God. Therefore, if we're going to transform, if we're going to be different for all of our life, not just for 6 weeks, I need to do it with God. Therefore, it is important, the most important discipline that I can build into my life is to spend time relating to God. I have to build the discipline into my life of this. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to relate to Him. I need to discipline myself to be in relationship. Now, I want to tell you some things, or here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about three relationships in my life, and then I'm going to transfer that to the motivation that we can have to really discipline ourselves to be in relationship with God, right? Because if we want to discipline ourselves, what does it require? Well, I have to be compelled. Something has to motivate me. I need to discipline myself to be with God. What is it that's going to motivate me to do that thing? Let me tell you about three relationships that I think all of us can relate to in some way, and then we're going to look at that in relationship to how we interact with God. The first one is the relationship I had many years ago with my wife when we were first getting to know each other. We were going to school in Madison. I saw this pretty redheaded girl in the church, and I really liked her. I didn't know if she liked me or not, but as time went on, I just liked her more and more. And so Madison is a big campus, but I would kind of know where she was going to be at different times. And so I would just find myself kind of intersecting her path. And, oh, hi, Sue. Fancy meeting you here. Isn't that strange? And I wanted to be with her because I liked her. As time went on, it became clear that she liked me. And so she started to do the same thing. She'd show up in the law building and just, there she'd be. And, oh, yeah, I just happened to come in here for a Coke or something. And she doesn't even drink Coke, but she'd just come look for this because she wanted to be with me. We were motivated to look for each other. Why? Well, because we liked each other. Then our relationship blossomed. We got engaged, and we just couldn't, you know, get enough. I was living right next to Camp Randall Stadium in the Regent apartment. She was living a little bit farther off campus, but on almost every morning she would come to my apartment and we would walk to school together. Even if, you know, one of us wasn't going, we would spend that time together. We were extremely motivated to be together. Why? Because we liked each other. And that was deepening into a love, and we just couldn't wait to be together. You can relate to that, can't you? Here's another relationship in my life. When I was going to school here in Eau Claire, there was a guy named Bob Ryder. You've probably heard me speak about him before. Bobby R., I called him. And Bob and I lived in the dorms together for a couple of years, 3 years, I think. And Bob and I got to be very, very, very good friends. We thought alike. We both grew up in little towns in northern Wisconsin. We both liked to play baseball. We had similar interests. Bob and I just really got to know each other well, and it was very, very comfortable. And you know what that's like, right? To have a friend that it's just comfortable to be there. We understood each other. I got Bob. Bob got me. We didn't have to go, you know, spend lots of time trying to figure each other out. We could talk about things in terms that both of us understood. We would go down to the Davies Union there, Davies, and there was a video arcade down there in those days, and we played Donkey Kong for hours, and we'd brag about our Donkey Kong exploits with each other, and we would get into arguments about, you know, who was the best major league second baseman, and we just thought the same kind of ways, and we could have conversations without a whole lot of work, and the more we interacted with each other, the more we understood each other. So what happened is, when I went back to the dorms, I would go poke my head into Bobby R's room, see if he was there. He would do the same thing. He would come poke his head into my room, see if I was there. Because we wanted to be together. Why? Well, because we understood each other. It was comfortable. He was a good friend. We liked each other's company, and so we looked for opportunities to be together. We were motivated because of that relationship. Here's another one. When I came back from Madison, I was a young man. I was 25 years old or so. Came back from Madison. Sue and I were engaged. Got involved in the church. We'd been involved in the church here. I had before I'd gone to Madison. I came back, and I was a relatively young Christian at the time. I was probably had been a Christian for 3 or 4 years, something like that, maybe a little more. But I really got it. Really started to grip my heart with, you know what, Rob? There's all kinds of ways that you can grow. This whole transforming thing, Rob. There are things that are in your life that really you should be different on. And I really had a desire to be more godly, to have my character grow, to really learn how to be, you know, a man that really was what God was after. I just had this desire to grow in my character. And so when Sue and I came back, Dave Lenander was the only pastor here in Eau Claire. And so I saw Dave and I said, you know what, this guy really, I want to be like him. He's a man of character. He serves. He loves the Lord. He's laying down his life. He's pouring himself out for the church and for God. And I want to be like him. I really want my life to look like that. So I spent time with him. I just hang around. Sue and I ended up living only two doors down from him. And so I would go through the woods over to his house on Sunday mornings early, and I'd pray with him. And I would just look for opportunities to hang out with him. Why? Because I wanted to be like him, and I knew if I could hang around with him, he could speak to me, and I could ask him questions, and he would be a good example, and he would challenge me in so many ways. And I would ask him, hey, can we get together for lunch? Can I come over to the church and serve you? Is there anything I do? I was motivated to be in that relationship. I went looking for him because I wanted to be like him. And it was an honor to Dave. And I think he was very excited for that hey, here's a guy who really wants to grow. And so he gladly spent time with me. He gladly did that with me. Three relationships where I was very motivated to spend time with those people. In many ways, guys, we need to have the same kind of motivations in our relationship with God as those three things. And I want to give you three things that if you're going to have transformed life disciplines, if you are going to transform and really be different your whole life, you have to do it in the presence of God. But if you're going to be with God, you have to be motivated. Something has to compel you that way. I'm going to give you three things to ask God for, three things to pray for that will motivate you to do what I'm going to talk about at the very end. Three motivations, three things that will compel you to be with God, to spend time with God. Here's the first one, things that you can ask God, and that's this. Here's the first one, fire my heart. God, fire my heart for you. Just like when I was falling in love with Sue and Sue was falling in love with me, I just couldn't wait to find her because my heart was stirred. My heart was stirred for her and hers for me. And so we went out of our way to find each other. Guys, we can and should have that with God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3, this is God speaking. It says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I have loved you, says God. I love you with an everlasting love, and I am drawing you with loving kindness. This is, guys, a good thing to ask God for. God, stir my heart for you. Teach me, show me how much you like me. Help me to feel that desire that you have for me, and then stir that same desire in me. I'm not a naturally emotional guy, so I ask God for this a lot. God, stir my emotions for you. Fire my heart up for you. Because why? It will compel me, God. It will make me seek you out. I need to be with you, but I need motivation. And God's not, you know what? You don't have to feel ashamed, like, well, I should just feel this myself. No, God says, I will draw you. I love you so much that I will draw you. So I say, God, draw me. Help me to feel it. Stir my heart. Fire my heart. Guys, this is a good thing for you to ask God for. Give me this motivation. Give me this compelling reason to seek you out. Help me, God. Stir my heart. Fire my heart. I would encourage you. And some of us are just naturally this way. Some of us aren't. I need to ask God for this. And even if you are naturally this way, say, God, keep that fire hot for you. Keep this desire. You know what happens sometimes with husbands and wives is that fire dies down. And by God's grace, we just keep working with it, and that fire is remaining hot with my wife and I, but we have to work at it. If you are naturally good at this, that's good, but keep asking God, keep stirring that fire, keep that fire hot for you, God, because what it will do is as I feel your love, I will be drawn to you, God. And as I'm drawn to you, you will stir the love in my heart for you, and it's a motivation for me to spend time with you. You want to transform, you have to spend time with God. You need motivation, here's one of them. God, fire my heart. Here's another one. Something you can ask God for. God, deepen my connection. Deepen my connection with you. Help me, God, to understand you more. Help me, God, to be more and more comfortable in your presence, just like I was with my buddy Bobby R. 25, 30 years ago. I want to be comfortable with you, God. I want to understand you. I want to feel understood. Deepen my connection with you, God. This is a good thing for us to pray for. In the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples, the guys who have been with him for the last last 3 years or so. They've been at adventures together. They've suffered together. They've slept on the ground together. They've seen successes and failures. They've laughed together. They've been confused. They've been sometimes Jesus chews them out, and they don't know what they're thinking. But these guys have been together, and one of them says, "Boy, you know what, God, Jesus, I really want to know you more." And Jesus says this, and I like this. It says verse 7 of chapter 14. It says, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." I like that. These guys asked Jesus, "Help me to know you more." And Jesus said, "Okay, I will." They said, "Show us the Father. Show us God." And Jesus said, "Hey, you know what? You've seen him. Because I and the Father are one," he says. "And you know me. From now on, you do know God." Why? Because you know me. And there was an understanding there. These guys didn't see it at first. If you finish reading through John, you'll see that Jesus, that they begin to understand, "Oh, you're right. We do know you. We've been spending time with you, and our understanding of each other is good. And Jesus, you know me, and I know you." Guys, this is a good thing to ask God for, that you become more and more and more comfortable in his presence. If we're going to live by the Spirit, live with God, walk with him, be filled with him, God, make me comfortable there. Help me to understand you. Help me to be understood by you, just like I was with my buddy Bobby R. so many years ago. I don't have to work at this. Even if Bob and I didn't quite get, we clearly didn't understand each other completely, but we were comfortable. There was forgiveness. There was grace given to each other. I cut Bob a lot of slack. He cut me a lot of slack because we knew each other. We liked each other. We trusted each other. God, help me to have that with you. Help me to trust you. Sometimes we don't trust God. Help me to understand how you think about me, God. You just like me. Jesus said later on in John, he says, "You guys aren't just my servants. You're my friends. I like you guys." And he was telling them this. Why? It's okay for you to just come to me however you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to change clothes. You don't have to get everything all together. Come and be with me. Pray. And ask God, deepen my connection with you, God. Why? It will motivate you to go spend time with him. And you and I need that. Here's the third thing. Third thing you can ask God for. The third motivation that will move you closer to in a relationship with God. And it's this: strengthen my resolve. Strengthen my resolve, God. Help me to desire, help me to recognize how desperately I need you. And how much I have to be with you in order to really become what I want to become. Help me to see you as you are, God. You are my example. You are my master. And I want to serve you, and I want to be like you, and I want to honor you. Strengthen my resolve, God, to do what's right. Strengthen my resolve to do what I have to do to become like you. To do what I have to do to honor you. To do what I have to do. In Matthew 7, again, Jesus talking, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find." You know, seeking is an interesting word. Seeking is more than just hoping something comes back by you. You know, this isn't seeking. I'm not seeking anything. I'm just standing here hoping something comes by. Seeking is way more active. I'm looking under here, and I'm wandering around, and I'm moving things, and I'm active. You need to seek the things that only God can give you. And you may or may not be motivated along these lines. This one, I don't have any trouble with. I'm naturally motivated in these lines. Maybe you aren't. And so you ask God, "Strengthen my resolve. Help me to see how much I need you and how much I cannot become what I want apart from you." And God, as I see that, just like I was motivated to be with Dave because I knew I wanted to be like him, and I knew I could ask him questions, and if I would just spend time with him, I would be better off, and it would be an honor to him and a benefit to me. Say, God, make that true of you and I. Help me to see that. Help me to understand that, because that will motivate me to spend time with you. Does that make sense, guys? You want to transform? You want to be different for the rest of your life? You have to do it with God, walking with him, listening to him, being filled with him. You have to discipline yourself to be with God, to spend time with him. But it starts with why. What is going to move me in that direction when I wake up tired and I don't want to? When I have other things to do and I have priority decisions to make, I can either spend time with God or I can watch football. Yesterday I came home and my kids were out playing in the yard, and the Badgers were on TV. All right. What am I going to do? I could go outside, get some activity, get some fresh air, spend time with my kids, or I could watch the Badgers, who at this time were up about 52-0 or something like that. What am I going to do? Oh, a lot of me wanted to just sit and watch the Badgers. So I made the kids come in and watch the Badgers with me. The point to that, guys, is that I'm as much of a mess as anybody in the world. But you and I need relational motivation. We need something to compel us to spend time relationally. Because unfortunately, in our sinful nature, we're selfish and we're foolish. And I will do the things that are easy but will in the long term and even in the short term harm me rather than the things that I have to work at now but I'm really going to benefit from down the line. You want to transform? You want your life to be different? You have to spend time with God, but you need something to compel you to do it. Ask God. Ask Him to fire your heart for Him so that you feel and grow in this love relationship. Ask Him to deepen your connection so that you understand Him more and you feel understood and you're more and more comfortable in His presence. Ask Him. Ask Him. Don't just hope this happens. You go to God and ask Him for these things. Strengthen my resolve. Help me to see how much I need You. If you ask, it'll be given to you. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. I'm going to be done here, but I'm going to tell you three practical things that you have to do. And you've heard these 1,000 times if you've come to Cedar Creek. Three practical things that you have to do. Relationships, we're talking about having the discipline of a growing relationship with God. We talked about the motivations. Here are the practical things that you have to do. And the reason I'm going to take 3 minutes on them is they are so incredibly simple. They are so unremarkably simple that it doesn't take long to explain them. We just need the motivation to make sure that we do them. Here's the first one. You have to read the Bible. You have to listen to what God says. Read the Bible. Because through the Bible, through this book, God begins His communication with you. Relationships, if you're in the edge, you know I'm going to say it next, right? Relationships are what? Great. That's true. Relationships are a function of communication over time. Relationships are very simple. You communicate over a period of time, relationship is built. Same with your relationship with God. Relationship with God is a function of communication over time. You have to listen to God. That's part of communicating. I'm going to listen to what you say. God begins to speak to you in the Bible. Now listen to me very carefully. If you do not read this book, you are not hearing God. Let me say that again because I want you to understand it. If you do not read this book, you are not hearing God, at least not clearly. It's just a mumbled voice somewhere in the distance. God speaks in all kinds of ways, but He filters it through this. He starts here, and if you're not reading this, you're not going to understand, you're not going to catch it, it's going to get lost, it's going to be undiscernible. If you are not reading this book, you are not hearing God. Therefore, read the book. It's just not that hard. We're selling them out back. We have one-year Bibles. If you've never really gotten into reading it before, the one-year Bible is very simple, very easy. Every day you open it up to the date. I'm reading the one-year Bible this year. Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, read as much as you want, but it opens it up to you. We have New Living Translations back there, English Standard Versions, different translations that maybe will speak to you more clearly, but get a Bible, put your nose in it, listen to God. Listen to God. Listen to what He says. Second thing, talk to God. That's simply prayer. Prayer is as simple as talking to God, which is the second big component of communication, right? I'm listening, and I'm speaking, and we're communicating. Prayer is just talking to God. Learn to talk to God at different times in different ways throughout the day. I do it in many different ways. There are certain business-type things that I talk to God about. I pray for my kids. I pray for myself. I pray for you. I pray for different events. There's just stuff, you know, kind of just living life that God and I need to talk about. I also talk to God as I'm just kind of going throughout the day and I run into situations and I say, oh, What do I do here? And I ask questions in the middle of the day. Sometimes I just thank God for what's going on. I was walking through the woods the other day with my son and my dog, thinking, this is great. God, thanks. Thanks that I got both of these things, a boy and a dog. And they're, you know, at this stage in life, they're very similar, and I like them that way. And it's just fun for me to be here with you, God, and I'm grateful for this. Learning to talk to God in all the different circumstances, different situations of life that you're in, you communicate with Him. What does that do? It builds your understanding of Him. It builds your comfort with Him. It makes you, helps you fall more in love with Him. It, you can ask Him, God, help me in this situation. You need to pray, talk to God. Tell Him what you think, ask Him questions. Here's the third thing. You have to obey or do what the two of you talk about. You have to obey. Do what the two of you talk about. Also out there, we're selling these journals. And I would encourage you to journal. I'm not a journaler. I bought this one this morning, $2. What you do, what I'm going to do, is as God and I talk, I'm going to write things down in here. Helps me remember. Helps me to put it, as I write it down, it clarifies it in my mind. It's just a good tool to say, hey, okay, God, you and I are talking about this. This is what we're saying. It's going to help me to do it, to put feet under it. Join a small group. You have to do this stuff. We need accountability. We need help. We need understanding. And you're interacting with people who are doing the same things. It will help you. God says, I want you to be together as you do this. Join a small group and spend time talking about what you and God are talking about with other people, because it will help you to obey it. You have to obey what God has told you, because He'll oftentimes stop. You know what? This is what we're talking about. This is what I want you to do. And we're going to wait until we can kind of get that going, and then we'll keep going together. You have to obey. I would encourage you to do that. We're selling these out there as well. We're done with this series, guys. We're done with this series of transforming our lives, but you are not done being transformed. You've got a lifetime to live. And for the rest of your life, God wants you to be about this. But it is going to take discipline on your part. The discipline, the greatest first discipline is what? I'm going to discipline myself to be with God, because that's where I transform. Give me the motivation, God. Fire my heart to feel your love and to love you. Deepen my connection. Help me to understand and to be understood and to be comfortable. Strengthen my resolve. Remind me how much I need you. How desperately wonderful and powerful you are. Motivate me, God, to be with you. I will communicate with you. Guys, will you do that? Father, I just pray that we would. I pray that we would be motivated. You would stir our hearts. You would stir our resolve. You would stir our friendship, our relationship. Or just our desire for you, God. We want to be with you. Help us, God, to be men and women who are transformed. Not the same. Not just what we've always been. Not conforming to this world. But transformed, God. We do that with you. I just pray that we would be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.